that my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And I say amen to the reading of God's word tonight. Thank the Lord. Aren't y'all grateful what the Lord did in service this morning? He's still saving sinners. That's what he does. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, what does a sinner do? He gets salt. Well, what does a sinner do after that? He gets saved. The Lord does the seeking. The Lord does the saving. Aren't you glad that day that the Lord came to you, there wasn't nothing you could do to help yourself? Not a thing. Not one single thing could you do to make yourself. A dead man can't make himself alive. Oh, no. I say a dead man can't make himself alive. We look to him. By grace, you're saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm glad to be in church tonight. I like that verse. Isn't it good to have all the Jackson, well, minus, Daddy's not here tonight, is he, sister? He's in the security room. We'll pray for Brother Josh. He had to send her in here to make that distance, keep an eye on her through video cameras in here. So good to have the Jackson family. Been praying for them, Miss Aniston, and asking God to touch her and meet with her and be with her. And we still going to do that. Amen. Through arm injuries, stomach problems, and everything. Amen. Pray that Josh and Ashley get some rest. I want to thank the Lord. Continue to remember Brother Rick and Sister Karen. Brother Rick had a seizure, and let's continue to pray for him. So much to pray for. Good to see Sister Carolyn in the service with us again. We're getting used to this, sister. We're getting used to it. We're going to keep on keeping on. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. And good to see so many back tonight. And Sister Peggy Jackson, after her week. Brother Lloyd, after his surgery. I'm telling you, just so many answered prayers in the room. If we ain't careful, we'll keep our mind on all the things that on our long prayer list and forget what God has answered. And how gracious Sister Quita, she was struggling last week and the Lord touched her. She's back in here again on a Sunday night. Thank the Lord. So many issues, so many things to pray about. And we thank the Lord for it. So we're looking forward to tonight's service. You be obedient to the Lord. Let's remember what the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to us and said, without me, ye can do nothing. I've made the statement already. And this morning, and I just want to hit on it one more time. A lot of the times we get the idea that we've got church figured out, that we've got ministry figured out, that we've got the do's and the don'ts and the hows and the whys and the motives and all that figured out. But Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So we approach this service with that attitude. We approach it in the singing. We approach it in the testifying. We approach it in all things that said, the preaching, without me, you can do nothing. It's a sad day when the church, I don't mean to preach right here just for a second. But there that Laodicean church, the Spirit wrote to him and said, you're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. But you don't know that you're naked. You don't know that you have. Oh, tonight might we see the Lord Jesus Christ at the door knocking and saying, without me you can do nothing. And let him in. Let him in. Let him walk up and down these pews. Let him walk up and down these aisles, minister to our heart, and be like Mary when she looked at those servants when the Lord was about to turn water into wine and say, whatever he says to you, do it. So whatever he says to you tonight, do it. These altars are open all the time. And let's pray and seek the Lord's face. The Lord said, my house will be called a house of prayer. And so if you need to pray, you come on. That'll be just right and in order. If you need to testify, testify. If you need to stand up and sing a song, stand up and sing a song. If you need to go shake somebody's hand, wrap your arm around them and tell you love them, go back to your seat. You do what he says to you. You follow the Spirit. Follow the Lord. Amen. Come on, Brother Terry. Let's sing.
Amen. Let's all stand. Page 162. Amen. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. let all of my worries fade. Living by faith in Jesus above, trust and confide in His great love. No more sin in His sheltering arms. I'm living by faith. And fear no alarm. Though tempests may blow and the storm clouds rise, obscuring the brightness of life, I'm never alarmed at the overcast sky. The Master looks on at the sky. Living by faith in Jesus above, in His great love. From our sake, in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so tenderly will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. Living by faith in Jesus above, trust and confide in His great love.
Standing for one more, page 333. That was my fault, not Nathan's this time.
one more time.
To give you another opportunity to worship the Lord through giving. Thank the Lord again for His grace this morning, His provision, how He does, what He does, when He does. And thank God that He's God, and beside Him there is none else. Amen. All right. We want to thank the Lord again for His grace. Brother Zach, say a word of prayer for us this evening. Ask God to bless the service, bless the offering, and then you fellas head on back that direction.
Standing on the banks of the river, looking out over life's troubled sea, when I saw an old ship was sailing. Is that the old ship of Zion I see?
Its hull was bent and battered. From the storms of life I could see. Waves were rough, but the old ship was sailing. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? At the stern of the ship was the captain.
Amen. Yes.
I could hear as he called out my name.
Amen.
Get on board. It's the old ship of Zion. It will never pass this way again.
Step on board, I'll be leaving.
Y'all can keep those songs coming up all evening, thank God. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful singing. Thank the Lord. You remember when he called your name? I remember when he called mine. Bless the Lord. The Lord is good tonight, church. I have a direction, and this will be a little unique tonight to me, dealing with this subject, but I'm confident the Lord has led us in this route. It occurred to me to definitely travel down it. I want to speak to you tonight about the experience of salvation, okay? The experience of salvation. Now, I don't know what pops into your mind or into your head or into your heart when I say the experience of salvation. I hope you go right back to your experience. I hope that's the first one. First thing that pops in your mind, in your heart. But this evening, the experience of salvation, let me start out by saying this. Salvation is of the Lord. Amen. Period. And I've traveled a lot of miles, been a lot of places, not more than a lot and fewer than some. And this subject is as debated as any subject in Scripture, the experience of salvation. And I want to deal with it tonight to clear up any type of confusion. We're going to look at a statement made by Scripture, and then we're going to look at three different testimonies of actual conversions that happened in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, that is the gospel going forward into the world. So if you want to see what the gospel looks like with legs on it, you need to go to the book of Acts. Now, there's some things we need to understand about studying the book of Acts, but as we look at what the Lord is doing here, I want to compare Scripture with Scripture. This will be unique, and I'll be brief. Ephesians chapter number 2 is where I want to start tonight. Ephesians chapter number 2, we've already quoted it once tonight, but we won't, and many of you could quote it. I dare say all of you might be able to quote it. If you've been saved for any amount of time, reading your Bible for any amount of time, Ephesians chapter number 2. This isn't just a verse we slap on the back of a track, a gospel track. This is the Word of God. Acts chapter number 2, and we're going to read, let's read verses 1 through 9. I hope you're ready to turn a lot tonight because And we want to be brief with this, but we want to hunker down in Scripture and make a few remarks and go to the house. Ephesians chapter number 2, verses 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That means that you were dead, but he made you alive. And it's not as though you were sitting on an operating table when you were lost, and, you know, they just put some pads on your chest and boom, brought back. No, no, no. You were in the grave decomposing and rotting and completely lifeless. And you hath he quickened, made alive. He brought life to you. You were dead and now you're alive, thank God. He done that. You didn't bring any life. Your spirit, you see, was dead to God. There was no communication going on there. You were dead to him, but he made you alive, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So you see, there's a spirit that is working in lost people. They're dead. Lost people do lost people things because they are lost people. Let me say that again. Lost people act like lost people because they are lost people. They can't help. A dog cannot help being a dog. A cat cannot help being a cat. A duck cannot help being a duck. It's what they are by nature. And there's a spirit that works in the lost. The chains of sin have not been broken, so they're in bondage to act one way. Now,
Now, lost people may do good things. They may have great charities set up and wonderful acts of conscience and do good deeds, but yet those deeds account before God as filthy rags. Dead works. And that's how you walked in times past. We're trying to move quickly through this. We're heading to verse 8 and 9. But among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. There you go. And of the mind. So you had an old mind. You had flesh that you were in bondage to, and you were dead. Boy, it's a messed up situation. It's not as though there was something a little good about you and things were okay in some respects, you know, and you did some... No. You're dead. You were in bondage to your flesh and your mind was darkened and the spirit of disobedience and the power of Satan worked in and through you. Amen. But God, some of the greatest words in all of the Bible. But God. That's the state you would have stayed in. Nowhere in the Bible does it teach that God had to save any of us. Bible doesn't teach that. But God, who is rich in mercy, verse 4, for his great love, that's massive love, that's immeasurable love, that's completely unquantifiable love. They ain't a truck that could haul it. They ain't a spaceship that could carry it. There's not a plane that could haul the load. There's not a horsepower that could pull, you couldn't take a barometer and gauge. His great love, like how one man said, it stretches as far as to the east, the west, the north, and the south. There's no limit to the love of Jesus Christ. And that's the love it took to love us in order to save us. There was nothing good about us. Can I get some help tonight? Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. That is, he made us alive. That relationship between man and God that was broken since the garden. We once were alive to God. Man sinned. All of humanity fell. And ever since then, every baby that came after that in sin did my mother conceive me. Lost. Without God. But Jesus said, God said, even when we were dead in sin, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. With Christ. When you got saved, when God saved you, he placed you, made you alive. He woke you up. He made you alive to God. You were dead, but now you're alive. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was dead, but now I'm alive. And God woke you, gave you life, and placed you in Christ. Now whatever happens to Christ happens to you. Amen, thank God. Imparted to you everything that you need in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, we got to hurry. That in the ages to come... We can't skip verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's your new position. You say, well, yeah, I'm seated right now in Murrayville Baptist Church. Whether you know it, feel it, look like it, act like it, you have a seat in heavenly places in Christ Jesus that nobody can take away from you as a result of this saving grace that God has done for his people. In Christ Jesus. Notice there's no separation from Christ. Verse number 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You say, Brother Jay, well, I know what the Lord did for me in him. Oh, tonight, what will we be doing when we're in heaven? That for the ages to come, we'll just be learning something new that he done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see through a glass darkly right now. But buddy, as the preacher preached last Sunday night, just wait. Here we go, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith. How are you saved? By grace, through faith. That's the only way. It's the only way. By grace, God's unmerited favor to you. One man said, God's riches at Christ's expense. It's pretty good. It's a little better than pretty good. It's amazing. And it's the greatest story that's ever been told. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And buddy, if we had anything to do with salvation, we would boast, wouldn't we? I've heard a lot of farmhouse chickens, banny roosters knock around, and they sounded like they had something to do with their salvation. I mean, like they set themselves up. It's what they did in order to get saved. But nowhere in Scripture does the Bible teach that. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The experience of salvation. The experience of salvation. I want to caution the church against something tonight, and that is, because of our experience, sometimes we make our experience applicable and press it upon doctrine. What do you mean, Brother Jay? Occasionally, we will say, because this is the way and the manner on which it happened to us, then we apply that to every single body that we see. And then we make God's salvation our salvation. But salvation is not of us, it's of the Lord, church. You didn't come up with it, you didn't hatch its great schemes. And furthermore, God does what He wants to, how He wants to, with whom He wants to, in the manner that He wants to. And I thank God that this just isn't some kind of robotic scheme. That we just kind of, you know, operate as a bunch of robots out here. No, buddy, this is the life of Christ operating in us. The Spirit of God doing what the Spirit of God does. And the wind bloweth where it listeth. And thou canst not, Jesus said, tell whether it cometh or whether it goeth. But buddy, you can see the results of the wind. And likewise, you can see the results of the Spirit of God moving. Jesus just told Nicodemus that night, you must be born again. Hallelujah. I'm about to have a shouting fit tonight in my soul. These rocks turning over. This thing is by grace. And when we come in on Sunday morning and worship the Lord and the Lord saves, it's all by grace. Hallelujah. And when you get encouragement in your soul from the yonder's world, it's all by grace. As God touches and moves in your life, it's all by grace. None of this is earned. That's why it's called grace. You say, well, let me just stop right here. You say, well, if I read my Bible enough, and if I pray enough, and if I do this and I do that, God's going to bless me because I figure I've earned it. Listen, there ain't never been anybody that's ever met God halfway. Hallelujah. Let me say that one more time. You didn't meet God halfway when He saved you. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, and He came to you, thank God. Hallelujah. Came to you. Anybody that says you need to meet God halfway does not have an understanding of salvation as the Scripture gives it. That's just something you picked up along the way, hearing in 15 different churches somewhere at some point along the way. God comes to where you are and saves your soul. There's no life in you, but he regenerates and gives life and makes you a brand new creature, thank God. Hallelujah. I have three different testimonies. Acts chapter number 26. Turn quickly with us. Acts chapter number 26. It's so important for us to... some of the most difficult troubles I've seen some Christians have is because we don't all have the same story, do we? We don't all have the same story of how God brought us to faith. Some of us in here were saved at a very young age, and thank God for that. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I myself was a 10-year-old boy on a cold and Wednesday night when the Lord Jesus Christ brought me to faith. Some of you in here were in your teen years. Some of us in here were in our 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. We sing that song. It was on a Monday. It was on a Tuesday. It was on a Wednesday. It was on a Thursday. Some of you was drunks. Some of you was drug addicts. Some of you was gambling fiends. Some of you was caught up in debauchery. Regardless of what it was and how it happened, by grace, through faith. The experience of salvation. So what we do is we then take that experience and quantify a formula by which everyone must be saved this way. And if they were not saved this way, they were not saved. The only way of salvation, church, is by one person. The way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ. And you're saved by grace through faith. Now what happens, Brother Jay? Well, it's pretty clear in Romans chapter number 4. Listen, I'm going to be going all over the place tonight. The Bible says in verse number 2 of Romans 4, don't turn there because we're going right to Acts. Romans chapter 4, verse 2, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Faith. There's a promise made. There's a promise by God made. And he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you have no faith in that of yourself, but that grace in Ephesians says, for by grace are you saved through faith. In that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. So God gives you the grace. God gives you the faith to believe on him. And he imputes righteousness to you and I. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Listen, this thing ain't just a bunch of religious folk that gets together. We're the redeemed of the Lord, saved by grace through faith. Now, what about Paul? Well, might as well start with Paul. He's a big one, ain't he? Well, surely if we're going to get saved, we need to get saved how Paul got saved. Well, if you was, we'd have to call you an apostle. Because Paul saw Jesus, amen? And in two different places, Acts 26 and 22, the story happened in Acts chapter number 9. He tells it as a testimony in Acts chapter number 22. And when we get to Acts chapter number 26, Paul's telling his testimony that we have on record physically for the last time. So let's read it. Acts 26, verse 9. I verily thought with myself, he's testifying before Agrippa now, that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them off in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus, with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, he says, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand up on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Verse 21. For these Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. And we'll stop our reading right there. Now, anywhere does it say that there was a Bible pulled out in front of Paul, showed him the Romans road of how to be saved? I'm not knocking it. Listen to me, church. I'm not knocking it. But Paul never said that there was some kind of prayer that he said, something that he did. All he said that he knew was that God and him had a head-on collision somewhere, and Jesus Christ saved his soul. Now, he doesn't even stand up and say, we don't even see in his testimony. The testimony is the same in Acts chapter number 22. And if you even go back to the story in Acts chapter number 9, there is not a, I came down to an altar, I said this, and I got saved. There's none of that anywhere in the story of Paul. All that's in the story of Paul is glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. And all he could look at Agrippa and say was, I used to do this, and now I do this. Amen. Amen. I used to live this way. I persecuted the Christians. I murdered, I killed, I robbed, I thieved. But Jesus showed up and put a stop to that, and he gave me a plan for my life. Hallelujah to God. Bless the Lord. You say, Brother Jay, I don't fit my description of a salvation experience. Bless God, you can say the same if you're saved. You was once lost, but now you're found, thank God. You tell me, now listen, we're talking about salvation experiences here. I've got two more left to go, so I'm not going to get ahead of myself. But look at Paul's salvation experience. God done the work inside. Now, it's always been a question in my mind, and some of you great theologians help me in here tonight. But it's always been a question in my mind, when did Paul get it? All right, was it when he saw Jesus? Was it when he went down to the brother in town's place and the scales fell off his eyes? When was it? I don't know, but I know he got it, thank God. I don't know when it happened. Oh, bless the Lord. And I look back on my experience. I think it was somewhere in an altar when I bowed as a 10-year-old boy. But I can testify to you, God saved me somewhere along the way. Amen. Y'all listening? Hallelujah. All right, hold on now. You say, Brother Jay, you're talking foolishness. Listen, I'm telling you, we've lived up into such a day where we don't think through the lens of Scripture anymore, but we think through the lens of experience. And that's okay if your experience lines up with Scripture, but you're going to get in a world of trouble when your experience doesn't line up with the book. And you're going to struggle. You're going to have a hard time. You're going to have a hard enough time anyway. Buddy, when we try to force our experience on truth, that doesn't work out. Let truth force itself on our experience. Amen. All right. Those other three texts, you can go back and look at his testimony later. That's Acts 22, 9 through 21. Acts 22, 3 through 21. Acts 26, 9 through 21. And the actual story took place in Acts 9, 1 through 19. Now, turn your Bibles to Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 8. I'm sorry. Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. All right. Verse number 25 of Acts chapter number 8. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So there's a big camp meeting going on in Jerusalem. A lot of activity. But the angel of the Lord, verse number 26, spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, and to the way that goeth down into, from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert, which is desert. And he arose, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Which would seem that he was coming to Jerusalem. He was come to Jerusalem to worship God as a Jew would, or as a proselyte Jew would come. He was heading to worship God. And he had already been there and was returning in verse number 28 and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. So he's reading Isaiah. So he's been up to Jerusalem. He's on his way back. He's got the book in his hand, the scroll. He was reading in the book of Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, so you have two characters, the eunuch who's been up at Jerusalem worshiping, and you have Philip, and he's on his way back now, the eunuch is, and you have Philip, who the Lord led out of Jerusalem to this place. And the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I? He literally didn't understand what was being said in the scripture and said, it's not that I won't understand. It's that I can't even understand. Why is that? Because he's dead. He's never been made alive. And that's exactly what goes on in the hearts of sinners. They can't understand the word of God, the things of the Spirit, Brother Marty, because they're dead to the Spirit. That's exactly right. How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. Isaiah chapter number 53. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Who's Isaiah talking about? Was he talking about himself or of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have this lost man who's been up to Jerusalem trying to find God. He leaves there, didn't find him up there, because God ain't in behind that veil no more, Brother Tim. When Christ did the work and said it is finished, that veil was ripped in twain from top to bottom, and every sacrifice after then was in vain. Praise God, because God's sacrifice had been offered for sin once. Hallelujah. Send it up into heaven, making intercession for us. This man goes up there, gets disappointed, riding back. He's trying to find God in the Word of God, but he can't understand what the Word of God's saying because he's dead to God. And so Philip looks at him and said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, absolutely not. How can I? Unless some man show me. And Philip, led unto the Spirit of God, preaches the gospel to that eunuch. Hallelujah. Now what happens? Listen. Preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe. How did you come to believe? Well, I once was lost, but somewhere along the way, the old story made its way to me, and God gave me the faith to believe. No man can say that the Son of God, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God outside of the Spirit. That's the Lord's doing. Amen. Hallelujah. So we've got two different experiences so far. Paul's, Jesus shows up to him, and we don't read anywhere where he made this statement, but we do see where God saved Paul. And then we got Then we got the eunuch here who's walking along and gets preached to. They keep walking, they keep walking, they keep walking. He sees some water. And of course, Philip's done preached to him, you know, by this point about the baptism of that God would baptize, that Christ would baptize with, that he told Nicodemus about, baptized in the Spirit. Thank God, washing of water. Bless the Lord, by the Spirit, by the blood of Christ. He looks at water and says, anything keeping me back from being baptized? And Philip looks at him and says, if thou believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, where did that transaction take place? I don't know. And you don't either. But at the end of the day, he said, I believe that Jesus is the Son. Hallelujah. About to have a fit. I say, God works salvation in whomever that he saves. Thank God. Amen. He does the work. And we so press upon sinners a certain fashion. We so press upon them a certain way. Instead of just preaching the gospel and letting God do what he does. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God works faith in your heart. I'm about to preach here just for a minute. Y'all with me tonight? We can find out who won the Masters later, amen? God does the work. You say, Brother Jay, how do I get saved? Let him save you, thank God. Believe on him. Hallelujah. How do I believe on him? Believe on him. Trust. All that you are, not believe in. Every single one of us in here believes in Jesus Christ. But you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe on him. You place all your hopes and dreams on Jesus Christ. Everything about you, all the deadness that you are. And you're just responding to the work that he's doing inside of you. Just respond. Man. He got baptized. I believe with all thine heart. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot. And let me, but furthermore, that's only something that the Spirit can reveal to you. Now we can say, hey, I do believe that Jesus is a, well, hey, listen to me, church. This is a supernatural working. And this doctrine that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the world hates this. They're fine if you talk about Jesus as a good man. You know, the sports figures get up and say, I give all praise to God, you know, for it's all for him, praise God. Hey, thank the Lord. But the minute that you say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you got problems on your hands, buddy. The world hates it. The world fights it. Amen. Amen. And I affirm tonight, would you not affirm in your heart with me that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Hallelujah. I say amen and amen. All right. He commanded the chariot to stand still. Verse 38. And they both went down in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized. When they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Hallelujah. Now, was any of y'all's experience like that one? Was there a chariot involved anywhere? Did you serve the Queen of Ethiopia anywhere? Had you been up to Jerusalem to try to worship? Oh, but buddy, the same method that God works, he works. Now listen, we've got to hurry. Acts 16, 11 through 15. I've only been going 33 minutes. Acts 16. This is wonderful. Acts chapter number 16. Acts 16. I believe this is right. Let's make sure this is right tonight, church. Acts chapter number 16. Well, I tell you what, let's look on up. All right, Acts chapter number 16, yes. Verses 11, that's correct. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course, excuse me,
to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. Now listen to this. Listen, it's very important we get this tonight. Very important we get this. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. There was a desire to pray. Either there was a desire to pray or there was those that compelled these men to pray because they knew something was different about them. And we sat down, the writer says, and spake unto the women which resorted thither. So it was on a Sabbath day, which is a Saturday. Let me just say this, Sunday's not the Sabbath. Amen. This is the first day of the week. This is the Lord's day. The Jews celebrate Sabbath on Saturday. This day of rest is on Saturday. Amen. Anyway, we'll get back. That's a different sermon right there. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside. Okay, so they came outside the city of Philippi, beside the river. There was prayer that was wont to be made. They sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Listen, verse number 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple. So we got a woman. Her name is Lydia. She sells purple, which probably attributes that she's got some money. Purple was a very rare and special commodity in these days. It wasn't just something. I mean, we can go down and get purple every day. But not back then, buddy. This purple was a precious thing. And she was of the city of Thyatira. What does the Bible say next? Which worshiped God. Are you listening? The Bible says there was a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God. The Bible says, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. That's her testimony. That's it. We don't have any further commentary on what this testimony is. This is what we have. And the Lord told us exactly what happened in her. She's going out. She's doing everything she can to worship God. She has a limited view of God. She's not saved. How does that work? Well, I'll let you talk to God about that one. That's what the Scripture says. And I'm going to preach what the Scripture says. Amen? And the Bible says that God, that she worshiped God and she heard the words of Paul. So Paul was preaching the same message he preached everywhere he went. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then what happened next? Well, of course she came and somebody looked at her and said, you believe if you died right now and in the next 10 minutes that you would go to heaven or that you'd go to hell? Well, let me set this straight right now, church. Nobody in their right mind wants to die and go to a fiery chasm of hell. If that's the watered down gospel we've got the wrong gospel. This is a sin problem. Now, the judgment of God looms over every sinner, and that should create a vehement desire to get right with the Lord. But our style of evangelism is Christ came, He lived, He died for the sins of man, and He rose again, and He lives. And now we're to repent and believe. That's our message. Amen. Help us, Lord. Nobody looked at her and said, now, if you say this right here, repeat this prayer. And then if you sign this card, if you really give and tithes after that too, and if you really act right, and if you really do right, then God will save you. Or even say, and listen, I love invitations. I love them. I thank God for them. I love them. But nowhere in the scripture is there a piano playing and invitations being given. But why do we do that? Because it's an immediate opportunity for whatever word has been heard, for however God has dealt with the sinner's heart. It's an immediate option and an immediate opportunity for him to get something right with God and show a response to his gospel. And so we'll give them. As long as the Lord leads, we're going to give them. We're not going to give them mechanically. We're not going to give them robotically. We're going to give them as the Lord leads. As the Lord leads. But she didn't have somebody to, hey, listen, church. The Bible says she heard the words of Paul and that God opened her heart. You want to know how you got saved? Whenever you did and however you did, is you heard the preaching of the gospel and God opened your heart. Amen. Period. Amen. You seem upset, Brother Jack. I promise you, church, I'm not upset. But I'm amazed at how we have so confined God to a box. Listen to me, church. We've confined him to a manner and to a way which we seem appropriate to us because this is how it happened to us. And granddaddy said it this way and his daddy before him said it that way. I hate to hurt your feelings tonight, but I'm not interested in my opinion or in yours. We're here to preach the book, preach the gospel, glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, and try to help some sinners along the way. Amen. You say, well, this person didn't do this right here. You can do and 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 God never opened your heart. By grace are you saved through faith. Some of your testimony may be, Brother Jay, I grew up in church and I heard the gospel. I just know somewhere along the way God broke my heart and opened my heart to the gospel and I know I'm saved. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. And if your confidence is in a place rather than in a person, you got problems to begin with. But praise God, He's the one who saves. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Jesus saves, not the preacher, not the denomination, not the way, not this way, not that way. Jesus saves. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Now, what are our missionaries supposed to be doing out there? Preaching the gospel. Telling the gospel. Not trying to get sinners roped into signing a card and making a profession in something that they... Preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel. I was in a meeting one time. I went 42 minutes now, y'all. It's okay. I was in a meeting one time, and it's one of our meetings in our local areas where I grew up yonder. And there was a catbird up yonder that preaches some gospel. I don't know what kind of gospel he preaches. But we got in a meeting one night, and there was a fella that was sitting somewhere in this area. And everybody was real excited because, buddy, everybody said we prayed for this fella for years. And we got up, the service started doing, there's a lot of emotions and this, that, and the other, some things I won't even tell you about that happened. And I was just sitting there shaking my head saying, Lord God, get me out of this place. And then they stood that guy up and said, tell him what happened to you Sunday. And he stood up and he said, that man right there saved me. And he was pointing at the preacher. Let me tell you something, church. I can't save you. You can't save you. Brother Tim, Brother Mike can't save you. The elders can't save you. The teachers can't save you. And your praying grandmama can't save you. But honey, I'll tell you who will save you. And it'll open your heart. Jesus Christ the righteous who came to seek and save that which was lost. How does he do it? He does it how he wants to and under what circumstances he wants to. And opens your heart, makes you alive to him, gives you the faith to believe, and saves your soul. Amen. I was sitting on my experience. I was sitting on the altar, front row. Brother Ron Jones was to my right. Brother Raymond Williams was to my left. Big Raymond, they called him. There was two Raymond Williams in Robbinsville. His name was Big Raymond. The other one was Little Raymond. And Big Raymond was big, about 350 to 400 strong. And the preacher got to preaching. I didn't understand everything he was saying. I didn't understand every single word that was coming out. He just told me I had a problem. And only God could save me. Only Jesus could save me. Listen, church, this is my testimony. That knowledge and that news, listen, some salvation is like an atomic bomb that just suddenly, boom, like Paul. He saw a great, magnificent light. Some salvation is that you're just going on along about your way and you're just reading something and all of a sudden somebody passes by your way, Brother Tim, and says, hey, you know what you're reading? No. You're reading about Jesus. Let me tell you what he done for you. And God saves that soul. And some are like Lydia. God just opened her heart. She followed. Faith. That only God gives. Sitting on that front pew. Preacher's preaching. I couldn't make it through the whole message. I was so ready for him to get done preaching so that I could get to that altar. I'd done made four or five professions. Y'all listening? I'd done made four or five professions. Hey, listen, that's okay. If these kids make four or five professions, I promise you God's big enough. We just can't tell them no kind of foolishness, Brother Tim. Some kind of junk to try to pull something out of them. Let God save. Let God do what he does because we don't do it and we just be witnesses of what he has done. That's what we are. We witness of him. We say what he's done and what he's doing. And that's it. Now some in this day really know how to manipulate and get them all stirred up, buddy, and get them all in these six-hour invitations where they tell every single sad story that they can possibly get their hands on and press on them and press on them and press on them. Well, Lord have mercy, I'd about go down and get saved again if I get out of that service. A cheap gospel. A cheap gospel. God, help us not to preach a cheap gospel to these babies and sinners in this place. Oh, Lord. Would God do that night to you? Well, I believe he opened my heart. That church came and gathered around me and prayed. I didn't know what to pray. Sister Megan, if you would come to the piano real quick, if you don't mind. I didn't know what to pray. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. Looked back at Mama and said, I gotta go pray. I'm lost. I'm lost. The Lord answers in the affirmative. There's no confusion with him. This confusion stuff, you got confusion going on in you, that's his yeas are yeas and his nays are nays, Brother Barry. And I bowed. I didn't know what to pray. I didn't know what to say. I knew the verse, if thou shalt confess, if thou shalt believe in thine heart, that Christ the phrase, with the mouth confession is made into salvation. That's that testifying. These are symbols. These are symbols of the saving work of Jesus Christ and what he's done. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Confessing with thy mouth. And just simply, I left my seat and I came down to an altar. I mean, that little old church, it wasn't no bigger from right about here to right over here, maybe just a few more feet this way. We were packing that church out, about 250 people. Move of God was going on, Brother Marty. It wasn't emotionalism, buddy. It was a move of God. What's going on in that place, Brother Tim? And I left my seat while Dad was preaching. And that whole church made a little womb around me. What happened to you, Brother Jay? God saved me. God saved me. Don't base your experience on anything I just told you. But what I can say is this. Jesus Christ, the righteous, died for the sins of man. He was buried in place in a barred tomb. And he arose again. He paid the price that sinners cannot pay. And he sits at the right hand of the Father. Now what do? Believe on him. Say, how do I do that, Brother Jay? Respond in the affirmative. Respond in the affirmative. Faith. Faith. That is a small amount of faith. Whatever amount of faith it is, it's faith. And he gives it anyway. And so it's all grace. Just respond to him in the affirmative. I'm glad I'm saved, aren't you? Aren't you glad that somewhere along the way, what this is a big old broken band of body of people that's just, Sister Sue, we all got different stories, but we all came the same way through Jesus Christ, the Lord. And he done it, Miss Diane. He done it. He did it. And I can't look back there and say I had anything to do with my salvation other than the fact that I provided the sinner. I provided the sin to be forgiven. That's what I provided. But he provided the salvation. Glory to his name. Salvation experience. Here's what we're going to do. Brother Terry, if you would, come get a little song of invitation, if you don't mind, brother. I just feel it. Just a little moment right here. If God's pricked your heart tonight, if God's opened your heart tonight, I wonder would you be willing to respond in the affirmative. We're going to give an invitation. If you'd like an opportunity to bow and pray, that's why we've got these altars down here. There's nothing spiritual in these altars. Nothing about these altars will save you. This is a provision. This is a provision that we've made. You can be saved right where you sit. Believe on Jesus Christ. I tell you what, it does make a pretty good place to pray. And we'll pray with you. We'll pray with you. Jesus will save you. How many has ever come to him that he sent away? He said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He said, I'm the bread of life. Eat of me. Drink of me. Just respond in faith. Respond in the affirmative to him tonight. Amen. Sing, Brother Terry. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you feel the need to come pray, come
careless
pray.
Soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation of revert to be the God? Careless soul, only the morning. Oh, how sweet. has been in folly.
All we've been doing is we keep preaching, we keep singing, we keep teaching that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. I thank the Lord for His saving grace, don't you, church? That He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming love. He loved me ere I knew it. Hallelujah. There's not one thing more important going on in this world right now than the saving grace of God. We've been doing this for thousands, a couple thousand years now, preaching the gospel and extended an invitation out. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Jesus Christ, salvation. He does the saving. Sing one more verse, Brother Terry, and we'll be dismissed.
Hear
come on.
Ye not the earnest pleading of your friends that wish you well?
And won't you come?
Before tomorrow, you'll be called to be goodbye. Hear a soul, holy good morning.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for the Spirit of God, how you move and what you do. Oh, Lord, thank you for the experience of salvation. Thank you, Father, for the reality of the cross, the reality of Christ, the reality of the Spirit. Lord, Father, I want to thank you for the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, Father, as we break fellowship here in just a few moments, that you'd continue your work. I'm confident you've dealt with hearts in the service tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd have your way, have your will. Lord, Father, for your children, I pray, Lord, that you'd touch and move, establish and strengthen and settle. Father in heaven, I pray this, Lord, that you'd touch and meet and move. Show us, Lord, Father, more of yourself and your word. Be with us as we go, Lord, now I do humbly pray. Thank you, Lord, for truth. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for your son. We love you.